guys. Thanks for tuning in to episode 13 of the Kitchen Stitches podcast. I'm Summer, your hostess, and you can find me on Ravelry and on Instagram as Summer Yarns, and that is SOMERYARNS. And you can also find our Ravelry group, which is the creatively named Kitchen Stitches group. And I would love to have you join, and perhaps we can get some conversation going. We've had a few conversations, but it's usually a pretty quiet group. I'd love to have a little bit more interaction. Today is probably going to be a fairly short episode. I do have several finished objects to talk about, and some whips and upcoming projects and a little bit of in the kitchen, but not a whole lot. So I think this will probably go fairly quickly. Let's get started with finished objects. I have two big FOs, one medium size FO, and two little bitty ones. So let's start with the big ones. If you have been following me on Instagram, and if you are a regular listener, you may remember that I have been working on several pairs of socks. And I finished two of those this week. The first pair I finished were my Mardi Gras socks. I made these following the vanilla latte pattern, which is a pattern by my mom, Virginia Rose Jeans. You can find the pattern free on Ravelry. And it's just basically a vanilla sock pattern with a broken rib. And I modified that just a little bit to give it a little bit of extra, stretch. And for these socks, I use Hiwassee Creek Dye Works on her sassafras base in the Party Gras colorway, which was a colorway I requested because I had been obsessing over making Mardi Gras socks for about a year. And I did these on my size 0 Chow Goo red lace needles. And these turned out so fabulous. Christy at Hiwassee Creek did just a fabulous job dyeing the yarn. It was exactly what I was looking for. And the socks just turned out beautifully. I made these socks for a coworker who is from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And last year I've told the story in another podcast or in another episode, but, I'll just repeat it. Last year on Mardi Gras, I was wearing socks. It just happened to be Mardi Gras colors, but in a more pastel colorway. And it was absolutely a fluke. I had not planned it. And we were talking and she commented on how awesome it would be to have socks in the traditional Mardi Gras colors. It was not a hint. It was just, conversation. Well, as soon as she mentioned it, I'm like, I have to make those socks. I've got it. Surely somebody dyes this yarn. And I actually looked, stalked Etsy. Of course, at this point it's after Mardi Gras. Nobody is selling this type of yarn. But I looked and looked and looked and finally decided that I could just request it. And Christy was great and got it to me within just a few days. And like I said, it was just fabulous. Well, I finally finished these on Tuesday, and I brought them to work yesterday and wrapped them nicely and left them on my coworker's desk because she was not available. I work in a library, so she was in another part of the library at the time, and I left them on her desk with a note saying that once I had it in my head, I became a little bit obsessed and that I hoped that they fit and that she loved them. And a little while later, she came and found me at my desk and was just so genuinely pleased. It was just, it made me feel so good. I mean, I didn't do this for my own benefit, but it was so nice to do something that was just heartfelt and just because I wanted to do it. I wanted to make them. I knew that I would have a gracious recipient, and it was just perfect. And I got a hug, and she apparently showed them off to several of my other coworkers, and she was just so pleased with them. It was a wonderful project, and I'm so happy I made them. You can find pictures of them on my Instagram account. And I actually haven't updated my Ravelry project page with the most current picture of them finished. So I'll do that. I'll try to do that tonight. But I highly, highly, highly recommend Hiwassee Creek Dye Works for self-striping. I know there are lots of other great dyers too. And I want to try them all. But this is one I can vouch for sure. The next pair that I finished was the Rosa Rubiginosa socks by Hunter Hammerson from the Knitter's Curiosity Cabinet. I did these out of McMillan Fiber Company in the Prim colorway. This was part of a Hunger Games club from 2 years ago. And I also did these on size 0 Chalgu red lace needles, which these are my go-to sock needles. I know Kate from the Stitch Addiction podcast recently, I think in her most recent episode or the most recent one that I've watched, was talking about how these are now her go-to needles for sock knitting also. And a lot of people don't really like the cable. For me, I really like the stiff cable on these needles. So they're definitely my preferred needles for socks anyway, for magic looping. Anyway, the Rosa Rubiginosa socks, these are the sock. I don't wear, I've mentioned this in other episodes too, I'm not generally a pink person, but these socks are just, there's just something about the pink. It's tonals from an almost salmony pink to a very, very, very pale, almost white pink. It's tonal, and it's just such a pretty, pretty yarn. And the pattern was this, I mentioned, was for the Knitter's Curiosity Cabinet, and it was, some of those socks are very fiddly. This pattern was not at all. It was easy. I wouldn't say, I didn't memorize it, but it was really easy to do while I was doing other things, you know, talking or watching television or something like that. It was not a complicated pattern at all. That said, with this pair of socks, I did have a case of when knitting attacks. And I honestly, I'm not quite sure where I went wrong, but I knew the cuffs were the same, the heel flaps were the same, and then you move on to the toe chart, which ends, on me it ends about a third of the way down my foot. And then the rest is stockinette and then the toe. And I'm not really giving anything away because there is a pattern in there that you would have to know. I knew how many stitches or how many rows past the end of the toe pattern, the toe chart, I had done on the first sock. And I did that many on the second sock. And then the part where I think I messed up is I did the traditional toe that I do on almost all of my socks, which is just I decrease down to 40 stitches, and then down to 10 more. I mean, down a few more rows to 10 stitches, which makes a shallower toe. And on this pair, I apparently had actually followed the pattern, which was a deeper toe. So I I Kitchenered my socks, took them off needles, and looked at them, and the second sock was about an inch or so shorter than the first sock. So I had to pick all of that out and back way up and just completely redo the toe. Luckily, it really wasn't that hard of a fix. I had done something funky on the sock. I think when I switched, one thing I did was decrease more than the pattern called for, just because this was a 60 stitch sock, and I usually do 56. So I had brought it down to 56 stitches. And then I had gotten off. I think I moved one stitch to the back, and so my chart was off by a stitch. I didn't notice, and it honestly, it's not that big a deal. I didn't even fix that mistake. I don't know where it was. But somehow in the process of that, I think I also messed up the count a little bit. I don't know. Long story short, I now have very pretty pink socks that took me just a little bit longer than I thought they were going to. The third finished object I have is an amigurumi penguin. I think I mentioned in my last podcast that I have a coworker who is having a baby shower who likes to play with my Beanie Boo. He doesn't play with my Beanie Boo. He likes to pick up my Beanie Boo and pretend that he's going to steal it. So for his baby shower, which is tomorrow, I made a little softie that is a penguin. And I also, this isn't a finished object, but just to add on, as other part of the gift, I'm actually giving them a crocheted baby hat that I had made a few years ago when I had thought about opening an Etsy shop. I think I mentioned that in my last podcast too. But I found one. It's not a newborn size, but it should still, I think, maybe getting closer into the fall, it will fit the baby. So that'll be a nice gift. I can't wait to give that tomorrow. But this was a super easy pattern. I don't know the designer, but it was off of the Lion brand website. And it was just, I searched for penguin patterns in Ravelry that were free and found this one. And there were a lot that have been made using this pattern. For the yarn, I just used scraps that I had. I think I used some, probably Vanna's Choice in the black and the white, I believe. And then there was a little bit of orange for his bill and his feet. And that I used Knit Picks Brava, or is it Bravo, whatever their acrylic is, that I had from something, another project that's hibernating. So, completely free pattern, a free pattern, and free yarn. Well, not free, but you know, I didn't pay for it right now. So that was a very successful baby gift, and I can't wait to give it tomorrow. The other two finished objects I have are really small. I did a mini sock for my Christmas all year long knit along. Using leftover scraps of the McMullen Fiber Company President Snow colorway that I used to make my Kebnekaise socks that I finished recently. And that took all of about 2 hours probably to make. And it's really cute. That'll go in a bag for a Christmas tree next year. And I'll talk about the knit along in just a minute, or in a few minutes. And then the other little finished object is just another sock yarn square. And on that, I use the Hawassi Creek Dye Works in the Party Gras color that from the socks that I just finished. I really like to try to do at least one sock or one scrap project once I finish the sock. I try to do one sock yarn mitered square, and then now I'm trying to do a hexapuff also. So I haven't done the hexapuff yet from that yarn, but maybe I'll do that tonight. So those are my finished objects. I actually have 5. I will count every last one, even if it's tiny. So let's move on to my works in progress. I actually don't have a whole lot right now. No, that's not true. I have a lot of projects on the needle. I counted, and there's more than 10. I don't remember exactly how many I counted now, but I'm only going to talk about the ones that I'm actively working on. The first is my noodle, which is a pattern by Susan Claudino. It's a little chihuahua. I am using 3 Irish girls in Springdale. I have Springdale. I think that's right. Worsted. And the You Are My Sunshine colorway. And I'm using size 5 Chagu Spin, which are the bamboo interchangeable needles. I've done the head and the body and the legs. I still need to do the arms and a tail. It won't take me very long, but I'm going to wait until after March 1st so that I can count that as a project for Nerd Wars next month. This is a really cute pattern. I'm sure you've seen it in other places. The colorway that I'm using, I mentioned, is You Are My Sunshine by Three Irish Girls. This colorway I bought a couple of years ago as one of their, it was a charity colorway. And coincidentally, this colorway is one of their big deal colorways for March. And 20% of the proceeds, along with two other colorways, I don't remember what they are, Glimpse and Love something. I don't remember. You'll have to check that out. But 20% of the proceeds of those particular yarns will go to Share, which is Share Pregnancy and Infant Loss Support, whose mission is to serve those whose lives are touched by the tragic death of a baby through pregnancy loss, stillbirth, or the first few months of life. So if this is a charity that means something to you, or even if, you know, if you're just looking for a charity to support, it's a good one. And the yarn is lovely. So check that out. The next work in progress that I have is my TGV, which I am using Undead Yarn Zombified Colorway, which is neon green and black. I'm doing this on my size 6 Chinese needles, and which I mentioned I will have to go up to a different, or move to a different needle, just because it's not going to be, those aren't, the cable isn't big enough on those. I only did a little bit of this. I think I worked on it one night. But it counts. I did a little bit. I am still working on my Monster Cowl, which is a pattern by Julia Allen. It is a paid pattern. I have done almost 3 stripes since I last recorded. I hadn't touched it at all, and I've just picked it up again over the past few days. I should be finished with this early next week. I've took this one to work, and I'm leaving it there to work on. Generally, I can get 3 stripes done over a break, and then, of course, over lunch, assuming, depending on what I've brought to eat and how high maintenance it is, I can get probably at least double that over lunch. And I'm on the 3rd to last repeat. So there are 4 stripes per repeat. So this should be, I can easily get it done. At the very latest, it will be by the end of next week. That does not count all the weaving in of the ends, and I'm not quite sure how I'm going to deal with that yet. I am either going to just leave that at work, and instead of actually knitting on my breaks, use that time to weave in ends. That's not a bad idea. Actually, I think what I might do is have another project up there with me at work, and over my breaks, weave in some ends, and then over lunch when I have longer and I don't actually want to sit and weave in ends for that long, I can have another project to knit on. That's a thought. The only other thing I really worked on, I think I did a little bit of work on the Once Upon a Time sampler. I am very far behind on that pattern. I am still not even halfway done with January. And here we are, almost March. Oh well, it will get done eventually. It's a bigger project. Well, it's not a bigger project than I've done. The problem is, I didn't really think about it, but I bought one of the PVC pipe frames. I don't remember what the brand is, and I thought it would be useful to buy one that was the size of the whole project, or I don't know if it's the whole project, but it's the 11 by 17 size, and that is really unwieldy. So I may actually end up having to go get another frame or switch it out into one of my hoops, because that is actually one of the things that's keeping me from working on it, because starts to hurt my arms after a while. Anyway, that's all of my works in progress. Upcoming projects. On March 1st, I have several things that I want to cast on, or I don't really have things necessarily that I want to cast on March 1st. There's 2 things, but I have ideas. For one, the Nerd Wars next round starts on March 1st, so I'll start to think about that. I don't know the challenges yet, so I don't really know what to do for that yet. I know for sure that I am going to cast on the Bonnie... I have Bonnie Wee Mouse, but I think it's Bonnie Wee Thing, which is the name of the pattern by Susan Claudino, which is a mouse. And I am going to be using the custom colorway of the same name, which is by Dana of Unwind Yarn Company, on her Touring DK base. If you follow Dana on Instagram, or I'm sure Susan Claudino, who's known as Sherlock on Instagram and Ravelry, if you follow them, you've probably seen the pattern. And the yarn is, I don't have it in front of me, so I'm not going to do a very good job of describing it, but it's kind of a neutrally color, like a beige maybe, that has flecks of blue and hot pink. And it is so cute. And this mouse is just adorable. So I'm really looking forward to working on that. And then the second project that I know for sure that I will be casting on, I know what I'm going to be casting on. I'm not completely sure on the pattern yet. But my March socks for my personal yarn club are... is actually another Unwind Yarn Company. Yes, I peaked. I finished... The Rosa Rue Biganosa socks were my February Yarn Club socks. So I let myself go ahead and peek and see what yarn was coming up for a couple of reasons. First of all, I wanted to give myself time to think of which pattern I wanted to cast on so I could cast on the first. The second is for the Into the Wool retreat, our second knit along is Spotlight Craft Along, I think is what they're calling it. And the point of it is to use as many products by sponsors and vendors of the retreat as possible to earn points for our teams at the retreat. So I am very pleased that my March yarn just happened to be some of Dana's yarn, because she is one of the sponsors and one of the hosts of the retreat. I'm planning to choose a pattern that is also by one of the sponsors. I'm leaning towards Collie Wobbles by Fiberspace. Is that who it was? I know it's Emily Fibertown. Emily of Fibertown, I think, is who wrote this pattern. I'm not 100% sure. I'm not sure the yarn is quite right for it. So I may swatch a little bit in pattern just to see if I like it. Which I never do. I never swatch for socks. But anyway, those are the two things for sure that I am going to cast on. I have a spreadsheet started that lists all of the yarns that I have already by vendors or sponsors of the retreat, and I actually have quite a few, more than I thought I did, because I have scraps, so I can make something small. So I've got lots of yarn, I've got one project bag I can use, and I've got a few patterns that actually I already had queued by some of the sponsors, and while I don't really want to buy any yarn or project bags just to earn points, although I would love to support everybody, but I want to save my money for the actual retreat, I don't mind buying, spending $5 here or there for a pattern. So I'm still in planning mode right now for sure. I will devote some time to the socks and the bond. Actually, the other project counts for 2 points because Susan Claudino is one of the sponsors and it's out of Dana's yarn. So I've got 3 points right there already, possibly 4 if I do Collie Wobbles. Anyway, so that's my upcoming projects. I want to talk a little bit again about the knit along that we have going. It's actually a craft along. It's the Christmas All Year Long knit along. And the point is to kind of get a head start on holiday knitting. Mostly, like I've mentioned several times, my inspiration for this was that I want to have mini ornaments for a desktop tree over the holidays, And this was one way to keep myself motivated and to do that. But you can also use it for gifts or other types of decorations, whatever you want to do. Please join in. We've only had a few people join in. Right now, their chance, I think we might have two entries or two people who have entered. So they've got a 50-50 chance of winning something right now. It's so easy to join in. I mean, literally, a couple of hours work or maybe even less will get you an entry. Just use up some of that scrap. Throw together an ornament and enter it. I will do our first drawing for that on March 31st. I'll close it. You have until March 31st to get entries in for the first prize, which is a $10 gift certificate or $10 pattern on Ravelry. $10 or less that I will give away, and I'll draw for that on April 1st. So basically the first quarter of the year, you have all of that time to submit. So please, if you're at all interested, $10 gift certificate, come on, join in. It's fun. And just a little bit more, one of these days I'll actually have a real conversation with my mom about it, but the grand prize at the end of the year will be something from my mom's Etsy shop, which is Absolute Wonder. So, I'll probably put together like a bag and stitch markers and maybe something else. We'll see. We'll come up with something really good. And that prize will be open for anybody that enters all year long. So it won't be a quarterly prize. So even if you only are motivated, between now and March, you will still be entered in that at the end of the year. Any questions, you can feel free to ask me on Ravelry or however you want to find me. So let's move on to In the Kitchen. I'm sorry, guys. I know this is a little bit rambly. I just really wanted to make sure I got in and recorded because I just keep not having time. And I am bad about that. In the Kitchen, I only actually have a couple of things I want to talk about. This week, I made one of the best things I've ever baked. And I am not kidding. Last time I recorded, I talked about the banana bread that I had made. I don't remember if I talked about the fact that I had made it into muffins. I know I had done a loaf, but I'm not sure I had done the muffins yet. But they were a big hit, and it was really nice to have those in the mornings before school to just heat up or, grab and go. So my son had suggested that I make chocolate chip muffins, which I've made before, but I wanted to try a different recipe. So I Googled and I found this recipe, and it is from a website that I've completely forgotten now. I think it is Sally's Baking Addiction. Let's see. Sorry, I'm going to look this up because everybody needs this pattern. I mean, not this pattern, this recipe. Sally'sBakingAddiction.com. is the blog, and she actually, the recipe she had is kind of a master, like, muffin recipe that you can modify, and these were, I am so prepared, aren't I? I want to make sure I have this in front of me so I can talk about it. Yes, they're bakery-style chocolate chip muffins. And they just looked good. I mean, I get almost all of my recipes off the internet, even though I have tons of cookbooks. It's just so easy to just do a Google search or get on Pinterest or All Recipes or one of these sites to find recipes. So that's what I did. And this recipe was absolutely fantastic. If this will scroll down, I can tell you what it is. It is just a basic muffin recipe with flour, baking powder, salt, cinnamon, and nutmeg in the are the dry ingredients. Eggs, sugar, milk, canola oil, vanilla extract, and 1.5 cups chocolate chips. And I'm actually, if I haven't already, I will post this in the Ravelry group. I don't really see the point of going into too much detail of the recipe, but when you can click and you can see the whole thing. But the recipe is supposed to make 6 jumbo muffins or 15 to 16 standard size muffins. Well, I made a dozen and that came out perfectly. Well, if you've made muffins before, you know, usually they come out and they're kind of shiny on top. I don't know how else to explain it. And they are often a little sticky. These were not at all. They were just, she's not kidding when she says they're bakery style muffins. These tasted like I had gone to the bakery and bought muffins. I've made good tasting stuff, but I don't feel like any of it has ever been that quality that I felt like I had gone and bought it somewhere, and not like the grocery store bakery, but a real bakery. They were fairly dense. I think muffins just in general are, but they were drier in a good way, if that makes sense. And they weren't too sweet. The chocolate chips added just enough sweetness, and they did have some granulated sugar sprinkled on the top. And I cannot explain to you how good these muffins were. And easy. They were so easy. So I will post this recipe. If you try them, I want to hear that you loved them as much as I did. I will definitely, definitely make this recipe again, and I'll probably try her other variations. I know that there is a blueberry variation as well. Overall, her blog, the SallysBakingAddiction.com, if you've never seen this blog, just in general, it looks great. I haven't really had time to look at too many of her other recipes, but I immediately added it to Feedly, which I never read, but it's there for when I finally decide that I need some more food enabling. Anyway, so that was my rave of the best homemade muffins I've ever had in my life. The other thing that I want to talk about is a belated birthday gift that I got. The gift itself is not belated. I got a gift card from Amazon as a birthday present from a couple of good friends. And I was debating what to buy with it. I had 3 things that I was considering. One was a Zoom loom because it just looks fun. The second was dyes because I would really like to try dyeing yarn. And the third was this, which is what I bought. And that is Cook's Illustrated Baking Book. And this came out in late 2013, I believe. Let me check the copyright on this. Da-da-da. Yes, this came out in 2013. I believe it came out probably... it was a few months before Christmas, I believe. Because this was on my gift list for Christmas. The hardcover price when it came out was $40. On Amazon right now, I believe it's, when I ordered it a few days ago, it was $26. So I had just enough. I had to pay a couple of dollars out of my pocket with the gift card. So definitely worth it. I am a huge fan of Cook's Illustrated. Just in general, and that whole franchise. There's Cook's Illustrated is from America's Test Kitchen, and they also have Cook's Illustrated, Cook's Country, and then America's Test Kitchen. And all of the recipes that I have ever made from any of their websites turn out fabulous. They are not necessarily low maintenance, so I don't necessarily make them all the time. But if you really If I see that a recipe is from that source, I know it's going to be good. So that is why I wanted this baking book. I also apologize if the sound is funny. For some reason today, I just can't seem to stay turned right towards my iPad. So if I fade in and out, I apologize. I am going to do a very mini review of this book because I haven't actually cooked out of it, but I wanted to talk about it a little bit. First of all, it is a substantial book. It is hardcover. It is probably about 12 by maybe 14 dimensions, and it is, how long is this book? Over 500 pages with the index. And it's heavy, but it is so beautiful. It is just an absolutely gorgeous book. Let me look at the table of contents and tell you what's in here. There are 15 chapters, 15 chapters in here. They are as follows. We have quick breads, muffins, biscuits, and scones, sweet rolls, donuts, and coffee cakes, griddle cakes, waffles, and granola, yeasted rolls and loaves, pizza and focaccia, cookies, brownies and bars, snack cakes and fruit cakes, chiffon cakes, angel food cakes, pound cakes, and bundt cakes, layer cakes, fruit desserts and crepes, pies and tarts, savory tarts and quiches, pastry, and baked custards, puddings, and souffles. So this really covers all things baking. Like I said, I haven't actually made anything out of it. Did I mention? It didn't say at the beginning. Oh, this isn't. That's all the baking stuff, but it also has a basic, at the very beginning, it has a baking basics section, which covers ingredients and equipment and tips. And all of these have the classic Cook's Illustrated line drawings, like pen and ink, and talks about the different flours and what the difference is, like between an all-purpose flour and cake flour, how to store things, how the best to measure. It's just so much information. Actually, this is one of those books that I'm probably actually going to sit down and read cover to cover. Or, you know, maybe not cover to cover, because do I really need to sit and read the recipes? But all of the supplemental information, I am definitely going to read this and not just skim over it. I said I have not cooked out of it, but that's not quite true. Ooh, I completely forgot to add it to my list. I also want to talk about the Chicago-style deep dish pizza that I made this week, which is a nice segue, because while that was not, I did not get that out of this cookbook, the recipe does happen to be in this cookbook. I wanted to make pizza over the weekend, so I Googled Chicago-style deep dish pizza. I had a recipe that I had found on a blog a couple of years ago, that was really, really good. It made a really great Chicago-style pizza. Granted, I've never been to Chicago. I have to trust people when they say that this is what Chicago-style is supposed to taste like. But I found this recipe, and it was great. And then I made it once or twice. And then I went back to the blog, and she had made her blog private, which was so sad because I couldn't get to this recipe. And then I guess I Googled again another time, just out of curiosity, and she had opened it up again because people had emailed her and asked her to, because she had really good recipes. And then I went back another time not too long ago, and she had actually deleted her blog, which is so sad because that recipe was so good. And of course I didn't save it, I just bookmarked the recipe. So anyway, I needed a new recipe. So I Googled, and I actually saw several people had posted about the Cook's Illustrated version of deep dish pizza. So I happened to find that multiple places, as I just said, because I like to repeat myself. And that recipe actually just happens to be in this cookbook as well. So if everything is as good as that recipe, then I know that this cookbook is going to be amazing. I'm going to find this cook this actual recipe so I can talk about it a little more. This recipe is exactly what I would imagine a real Chicago-style pizza to taste like. 169, there we go. Okay. So, this was, like I said, a lot of these recipes are not low maintenance, and this was no exception. This was not a hard recipe by any stretch of the imagination, but there were a lot of steps. So, let me tell you about this. First of all, you make the dough, and it's a really, this uses a KitchenAid or a stand mixer or whatever type you have. So, there's actually no, it's not hard work. It uses all-purpose flour and cornmeal and rapid rise yeast, sugar and salt, room temperature water, unsalted butter, and a little bit of olive oil to grease the bowl. You do it all in the stand mixer, like I said. Then you have to let it rise for 45 minutes to an hour. After you let it rise once, what do you have to do after that? Blah, blah, blah. Okay, I'm so sorry. After it's risen the first time, you take it out, roll it out into a rectangle, spread butter on the rectangle, roll it up into a cylinder, cut it in half length or width-wise, fold that, each half of that, like a business letter, in thirds, and then pinch it to make a ball, put it back in the bowl, let it rise again for another 40 to 50 minutes. Then, after that, you've got the two balls, you roll them out, put them in your pan, and then make your pizza. It also has a recipe for the sauce in here as well, which was really simple. It was just a very basic tomato sauce. On ours, since this does make two pizzas, you make two pizzas and 9-inch cake pans, like good quality cake pans. We actually had one that had meat and one that was vegetable. On the one with meat, we used just Jimmy Dean breakfast sausage. And the other one, we put Kalamata olives and ricotta cheese. As this is Chicago style, you put the crust in the pan, put a lot of mozzarella cheese, literally, I mean, it was like 2 cups of mozzarella cheese per pizza. Spread the sauce over it. No. For the meat, I put the meat first, then the sauce on top, sprinkle that with Parmesan cheese. The other one, put cheese, sauce, and then the olives and the ricotta cheese on top of that with a little Parmesan cheese. And bake it for, I don't remember how long, maybe about 20 to 30 minutes. And let it sit for about 15 minutes before you cut it, otherwise you're going to have a big gooey mess. This pizza was amazing. Like I said, I have not been to Chicago. I've never had real Chicago style. I've had close, and I've had places that claim to be Chicago style. There's a place near Houston in Katy, Texas, that serves what they claim to be Chicago style. I've had somebody said that they had been, somebody I know who has had Chicago style agrees that this is actually the real deal. This was as good as that. For sure. This is one of those things I keep thinking of people who I have to make it for. The time commitment is a bit much. It was, like I said, this was not a low maintenance recipe. It took me most of that, I had to start it. I started a little later, so we ended up eating late, but I would need to start it mid-afternoon if we were having guests. Anyway. Like I said, if the rest of the recipes in this book are as good as the pizza, then I know that I am set for life with this baking book. This is one of those things. I sat and looked at this book the other day, and I just wanted to quit my job and just bake all the things. This is just a great book. And I will regale y'all with my antics. That's not the word I'm looking for. My shenanigans, my baking shenanigans, as I work my way through this book. Anyway, I guess that is it. I've said anyway a lot today. Anyway, that is all I have for you. As I mentioned, I highly recommend the book. I highly recommend the Hoasi Creek Dye Works yarn that I made my lovely Mardi Gras, Marilee's lovely Mardi Gras socks out of. And I am looking forward to casting on new things on March 1st. I hope everyone has stuck with me. I know I'm a little rambly tonight, but it was fun, right? Join in on the Ravelry group. Join in on the Christmas Cow. And I will talk to y'all soon.